There was this kid I knew from years ago. He was an ornery pup. He was one of those kids, always smiling, always happy, but he had a right to be. You know what I mean? Just partied all the time. But he was also one of those kids that you liked. You know, you just couldn't help but like him. I talk about that all the time. You know, there's just ornery people, but you just like them. Well, he was one of those likable kids. And he grew up, and last time I saw him, he was pretty out there. But anyway, he's been showing up here lately, and I ran into him a few times at the grocery store. Smiling big, happy. He used to be just a scrawny little kid, you know. He's not anymore. He's not any taller, but he has definitely been eating well, I guess is how you should say it. And finally, this week he came back to the store, and I thought, if he comes in, I'm just going to ask him point blank. I said, how are you doing? And he said, I am doing great. Life is good for me. And I said, you look like it. I just want to know something. Did you have one of those come to Jesus moments in your life? And he's like, well, no, not here lately, but God and I are all right. I want you to know that. God and me are okay. It's all squared away with him and I. I'm not going to a church right now, but my kids are going. I want them to have a relationship with God, and I want them to know him. And we talked about this, and in comes this other guy who goes to a different church, and we get to talking about the Lord and the things of God and the different churches we've went to and different blessings we've had. And I was just amazed. Here's this kid who was just, everybody would bet money he was not going to turn out well. I've bought a house, Doyle. And this is so responsible. I bought a house, and not only that, I have consolidated the mortgages so that I can get paid off quicker. I've adopted my oldest son. I'm happily married. Things are going quite well, and I have my own business. As a matter of fact, I've hired some kid, and I'm working with him, trying to get him taught on how to do all this stuff. He's in the oil field business, and right now, if you don't know, that's not a good place to be. It's not flowing with money like it was a few years ago. But he's being blessed, and he's working with this kid, and he's got people working for him, and he's happy, and he knows God, and he's thankful, and he praises God for what's happened to him. And while he didn't have a recent come to Jesus moment, somewhere between and now, he had one. You know what I mean? And he says, my wife and I are talking about trying to find a church so we can really get involved and sink our roots and really grow. And I'm going, great. You know, you're welcome to come here, but he lives way south of here, quite a distance. And I gave him some churches I knew, and I said, go there, be encouraged, you know. Glad to see you. Glad things are working. It does my heart good to see that God can touch these people's lives. But it's that come to Jesus moment that we want to talk about. There are at least three of those that need to happen in people's lives. And of course, the first come to Jesus moment you need is the one of salvation. The one where you come to the end of your rope and you say, I can't make it on my own. The one where you turn to Jesus Christ and you say, forgive me of my sins. And he does, and he gives you life eternal. The word salvation, we have narrowed it down so much in the church today and focused, I don't want to say too much actually. We need to understand what salvation is really all about and broaden the term out. We've got the word salvation and saved so honed that it seems to mean only a promise of a home in glory and nothing down here on the earth. In salvation, the salvation of the Old Testament, which is spelt like Y-A-S-A, in the Old Testament, it does focus mainly on material well-being. Places to live, food, money. And it focuses on the well-being of the nation of Israel. God blesses them as a group. Salvation, they viewed, wasn't just individually for a person as much as it was for a whole nation. And they viewed salvation in the Hebrew language as material blessings brought upon not just a person, but upon a people. It also went on down to the individual and to spiritual side of life. But the emphasis is up here on the material and the physical and the present life in this group setting mostly. When you come to Jesus Christ and the gospel of Jesus Christ, there is a re-emphasis. We still have salvation by grace through faith and all that, but the salvation here focuses, once again, kind of, you know, with the gospel of Christ, a lot of things are just seem to be flipped upside down. The emphasis is on the spiritual. It's not on the so much on the physical blessings of gold and silver and a place to live on this earth. They're there, but it's the riches of heaven that we will have throughout eternity, and not just the temporal blessings that we have here on earth, but the blessings that's going to be out through eternity. And not just a place to live while we're alive here on the earth, but a place to live throughout eternity, which is truly wonderful. It's not just a... And it focuses on the individuals. Whosoever will. It doesn't say you have to have a group or a herd of people to come to Jesus Christ. Whosoever will. So it's an individual. And then it goes down into all the other blessings that work with the word salvation. Meeting needs, provision, healing, emotional well-being. It's all there in that word. But for some reason, we in the Old or in the New Testament really have been focusing for years on salvation is the promise of heaven, and the rest of it is wait and see. But when you come to Jesus Christ, and when you are truly saved, and when you trust in Him for your salvation, you get it all. Don't narrow it down. Yes, the best part of Christianity is the eternal. It's going to last forever and ever, and we're going to be in the presence of God, and we're going to have a blessed place to live, and there's going to be peace, and there's going to be the trees of life, and there's going to be a water flowing, and it's going to be a park-like quality, and there's going to be the presence of God and the light of Jesus Christ and the fellowship and the angels and songs and rejoicing forever and ever. But it also includes all the rest of it, so we don't want to minimize that it has to be put off till sometime in the future. We have this second come to Jesus moment. The second one is need. Need. You need to come to Jesus when you need something. It's not, well, I'm saved and now there's nothing left to do except wait it out till I die. It's learning, growing in grace and knowledge. We have enough faith, but it's the idea of growing in grace and knowledge. My people perish for lack of knowledge, and we don't understand. I need to grow in grace. I have people who tell me all the time, well, I prayed to God one time or to Jesus that He would give me $1 million, and I never got my million. Therefore, this idea that you're bandying about does not work. The question is, to grow in grace, is I need to look at the guy and say, feller, did you ever trust in God's grace for $100? Grow in grace. Start with something that's manageable. Trust Him for $100. I guess what I'm saying is this. Before you need a healing, secure it. Deal with the subject of healing in your own mind so that you know that it's coming your way when you need it. Understand healing and how God deals with the situation. I've got friends who don't believe that God heals people. He said if God healed people, or God gave people the gift of healing like Jesus, He would go down to the hospital and He would heal every person in that hospital ward. Well, excuse me, you read the Bible, Jesus Christ did not go down to Galilee General Hospital. He didn't go to Mount Sinai Hospital. He didn't go to any particular hospital and heal all the people in the hospital wing. The only people that He did heal are those people who came to Him. He met the needs on the basis of, come to me and I will meet your needs. Granted, there's like three times that it's mentioned that people didn't come to him, but they were brought to him. One of them, you know, they tore the hole through the roof and lowered it down. He was lowered into the presence of Jesus Christ. But still, the person was brought to him. One of them was, my servant is sick. He's way over there, but I know that you can heal him. That servant was under the, protection, under the control, under the guidance, and what's the word, parenting? That's not the word because it was a servant. He was under submission to that centurion, and Jesus said, I have never seen such great a faith as what the centurion had, because the centurion said, you can speak it and it will happen to my servant. So the servant was brought to Jesus by the centurion, by faith, and Jesus met the need. The only place that I can think of where Jesus heals somebody is that Jesus was walking through the pool, by the pool of Siloam. I think it's Siloam. Anyway, he was walking by that pool and he asked the guy, what are you doing here? And he says, I'm wanting to be healed. And every time the water's troubled, before I can get there, somebody else gets in. Because they believed when the water was troubled, an angel had stirred the water and the first one in got healed. The guy all these years had been laying there by the pool trying to work his way into that pool at just the right time. Jesus, seeing his faith, said, oh, really? You believe in me? Yeah, whatever. Take up your bed and walk. And he did. But he didn't heal everybody else that was laying around that pool. Just that one person, because that person had faith that he could be healed. He knew he could be healed, that God could do it, but he didn't have quite the right approach to it, and he was always trying to jump in that water or wiggle his way over to the water when it was stirred, and when Jesus walked by, he realized it. But all the other times that I can think of or find in the Scripture is those times where people came to him. And it says, all those that came to him were healed, or they were delivered of their of demons or whatever their problems were. But it was the people came to him. Folks, we've got to have those come to Jesus moments also. When you have need, you don't hang back and say, well, you know, here I am sitting in my misery and in my need. Come to Jesus because you need it. Nail down the fact that you're going to trust him for a healing. How do you do that? Work, grow in that grace. You don't need a healing. John Clanky needs a healing. Start praying and trusting God to heal John. Start praying and trusting God to heal the people on this prayer request list. Start praying and trusting God through his grace that he's going to intervene in these lives. And if it's just a little bit, trust God for that little bit. And when that situation improves, say, thank you for hearing my prayer, and go on to the next one. Let the grace grow in you so whenever you get to that point, you're the one in the need. You'll be able to say, I've seen God heal through prayer before, therefore I'm standing by faith through grace that he is going to bring this to me. It says in verse 17, for it is the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. Verse 16, now I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes. It is the power of salvation. It's the power, the gospel is the power of righteousness. It's the power of salvation. The gospel is the power of salvation. The word salvation, remember, does not and is not limited to just glory in heaven. It is all the other stuff. The main important thing is eternal life. But the rest of it comes into play also. And it is that power, that gospel of Jesus Christ is that power unto salvation in all of its many manifested forms. It's the power. And it's the gospel. And the gospel is grace. It's not what we've done. It's who has done it for us. The Old Testament, I said that there was this reversal order. In the Old Testament, it was God said, people, you do it, and I will bless you. In the New Testament, we say, Jesus is God, and he has done it, and you will bless us based on what Jesus did. That is the gospel. It's the grace of Jesus Christ toward us. It's not something that we worked up. He loved me while I was yet a sinner. And folks, there's some of us out here who have done some horrendous things. Not things that we're just ashamed of, but actually horrendous things in our life. And while we were in the middle of that horrendous thing, He still said, I love you. I care about you. While we were yet sinners, He came and He died for us. I trust in you because you've been so good to me. Now I have other needs, not just for forgiveness, not just from wiping the guilt away, but I have other needs. And in the salvation of Jesus Christ, it's complete salvation. God, I'm coming to you. I'm coming to Jesus at this point with my need. And when God blesses you with something, you share that blessing. God hears our prayers. It says, you have not because you ask not. Well, I know this. I know people who won't pray for God to bless them in any other way than in their salvation because they've never seen it manifested in any other way except in the salvation through Jesus Christ, which they have been taught. They have not because they ask not. You don't receive because you ask amiss. You ask for it and you heap it upon your own lust. If you are trusting God to give you $100, say, God, I need some cash. He provides you $100. You say, thank you very much. Don't spend it all on yourself. You're to be like Jesus Christ. He received from God the Father and He gave it to other people also. You receive from God the Father, you give part of that blessing to somebody else. If He gives you $100, give some of it to somebody else and you be a blessing for that person. You become the blessing because you don't know who needs what and you say, I don't have anything. If you've got walking down the street and you find two pennies, you say, well, that's not much. That is what you've got. Well, who's going to take two pennies? You go into a grocery store and they got them little boxes there. It says, need a penny, take a penny. Have a penny, leave a penny. You say, all I've got is these two pennies. It's not much, God, but that's a blessing to somebody because there's people come into my store all the time going, I don't have the right change and I sure hate to... Here's a penny. Somebody left a penny. Here's two pennies. Some little kids come in and go, I got 15 cents. Well, let's see how many pennies are here. Those pennies are a blessing to other people. So no matter how small you or what piddly little amount you think you've got, that piddly little amount is enough to get God started to say, look, they're not withholding. They don't think that I can't bless them even through a few pennies. They're throwing them in the jar with the idea, not just, well, I don't need that, but rather, God, let these pennies be a blessing to somebody and drop them in there. If you're not at a church, you can throw them up here with the same idea. God, bless these pennies and let them be a blessing to somebody. But if you're not any place close, throw them in the little cup there at a grocery store or any place else that you happen to be and ask God to bless them. The person who had the little bit and buried it is the one that God said, get out. You don't get the idea. You're withholding. The people who had some got more because they were taking what they had and investing it, and they were becoming blessings to other people. When God blesses you, you bless other people. And it's not just in the area of need. So we've got two areas covered of the come to Jesus moments. You need to come to Jesus Christ to get saved so you can get into heaven. You have the opportunity at any time you want that you have a need to come to God through prayer and trust Him for a small amount and build that grace up so that you understand it, so that you know that God can bless. So that you know this for a fact, so when you get there and you need that blessing, I'll tell you a story of a lady that I know. Her boy was dying and was not making it, and the hospital came in and said, go in and tell him goodbye. Get the family together and tell him goodbye. This kid is not going to live, and there's nothing that can be done because there is no medicines that can treat him that they had in their possession. There was nothing at the time that could touch that boy's disease. That lady did not have the faith to pray over that child. But she didn't know this. She went down to the local assemblies of God because she knew those people did pray, and she heard that those people, when prayed, had prayed, people were healed. So she went down there and she asked the pastor, would you please bring the elders and come and pray for my son? And they went, they anointed, the child was healed, raised up, still alive, doing well, things are fine. She believed in God, but she didn't have enough faith on her own, but she knew where to go get it. Those people had been blessed of God time and time again, so when it came to the point where somebody was in need, they could run down to that hospital and pray for that child, that that child would be blessed. Her faith wasn't strong enough by itself, but she knew where to go, and that's what the man said when he went to Jesus. Heal my son, he said, do you believe? And he said, yes, I believe, help my unbelief. He didn't have much, but he had enough to know to go to Jesus. She didn't have enough to go to Jesus in prayer, but she had enough to go to a church and ask for the elders to come pray for her son, and that child was healed. Yeah, we have problems. I have seen or heard of people being healed. Like I said, the biggest thing I ever had was spring last year, and I had them allergies. I haven't had them allergies. You got an allergy problem? I'll pray for you about them allergies, because I had allergies. And you can say, well, they went away for whatever reason. They went away. For whatever reason, I don't care. I'm giving God the glory. Two come to Jesus moments. I got saved, and when I have need, I go to Jesus, and I'm looking for Him, and I'm expecting Him to grow me up in grace and knowledge so that I will know, and I can be a blessing to other people. And when He blesses me, I want to share that blessing with other people. The third come to Jesus moment is the one of sharing a blessing. Come to Jesus. And the sharing of the blessing is not just giving those pennies in the penny jar, which is great, but what about the times that God blesses you with something and there's nothing that you can literally pass on? You come to Jesus in a public forum and you say, I want to thank Jesus Christ because I know He intervened in my life. Me hearing those stories builds me up because I see God has touched you in your life, your family's life, and there has been direct divine intervention in your lives, and you have been blessed and favored of God, and I'm encouraged, and I grow in grace and knowledge because I know someone who was blessed. Anytime God blesses you, don't shut up and sit on it quietly. Share it somehow. If not materially, then do it verbally. Get the word out that you have been blessed. Here's my most trivial thing that happened this week, and it is a blessing that means nothing to anybody else, but it's one of them mysteries to me. How in the world did this happen? I worked the cash register. I see lots of nickels. When you don't have a lot to do and you're waiting on people to come up, or they've said, oh, let me go get this loaf of bread, I forgot it. And you're going, oh, look, there's a buffalo nickel. So I'll buy the buffalo nickel and I'll put it in my pocket. And the only reason I do that is because when I was a kid, I was looking for a particular buffalo nickel that had a particular year on it. And this guy who worked in the grocery store said, come to my house, I'll let you go through my buffalo nickels. The man started bringing out buffalo nickels in big mason, you know, those crock jars, and poured them out on the floor. And by the time he quit, he had a pile this wide, this deep of buffalo nickels, and he says, and if you can't find them in there, I've got more jars in the back. And I was like, oh my gosh, look at all these buffalo nickels. And he goes, you know, when you work in a grocery store and you have, you're standing there and you just pick up the buffalo nickels, and he says, and I buy them and I take them home. And I just do it because he did it. I'm not wanting y'all to start saving your buffalo nickels and bringing them to me. It's just something I do. The other day I came across the buffalo nickel. I bought it. I put it in my pocket. Time went by. I told you this is trivial. I felt something in my shoe. You know how you do. Walk, walk. Well, come to find out, I had a hole in my pocket. That buffalo nickel fell out. But it didn't just fall down my pant leg and roll away someplace. God knew I collected buffalo nickels. What's the odds of that buffalo nickel hitting on my sock, going inside the sock, working its way down until it got inside my shoe, whether it bothers me, and I'm going, that feels like, I didn't say a buffalo nickel, but I did say that feels like some change. I don't have any. How did money get in my sock? Took off my sock and there was the buffalo nickel. God blessed me. And I said, it's trivial. It means nothing to anybody else. But I'm sitting there snickering going, what's the odds of a nickel falling and somehow catching the top of the sock and working all the way down? I didn't say it was a great blessing, but it blessed me and I've been smiling about it for days now. I've got a buffalo nickel in my shoe. That is so neat, doll. God blesses me, even in trivial ways. I'm sharing that with you. Just so you say, our preacher is so foolish. Our preacher just tells us some of the most odd things, and he says they're blessings of God. Well, they're blessings to me, and I attribute them to God, and therefore they're blessings of God. Now I'm going to tell you something else about this church. There is a person here, I don't know if they'll know who they are, but there's a person here who comes to this church because years and years and years and years and years ago when they were a child, they were in the presence of God. As time went by at their church, one time that I know of. As time went by and they went through different churches and grew up, they came to this church and said, for the first time, I felt the presence of God in this church. And they come to the church. And they come to the church. Because the presence of God is in this church, not all the time, but once in a while, they know the presence of God is here, and they're just like, that's where I want to be. Wherever God's at with His people, that's where I want to be now, church. I would like to tell you that the presence of God has been at this church more than one time. I've got people that come from other places and say, oh my gosh, I was there. I couldn't believe the presence of God is so strong at your church. I just can't believe revival just doesn't break out at any moment. The presence of God is there. Church, we need to have a come to Jesus time. There are people who are holding back because they say, what I have got is so trivial. I was discussing with somebody and they used the analogy. They said, it's like there's a little fire started and the people are standing back going, I don't want to go up there. I don't want to contribute. Oh, it's just so small. It's so, I don't have a big blessing to share. And they hold on to that blessing and they don't share it. I was never a good Cub Scout. I was never a Boy Scout. And I was never a good Cub Scout. But this thing I did learn, when you've got one little flame, you don't throw a log on it. You don't throw something huge. You wouldn't bring Billy Graham in here, throw him down in the middle, and expect something to burst forth. Big logs don't burst forth when there's just one little match standing there going, come on, come on, burn. What we need at the time that there's just a little bitty fire is some little bitty shavings. We need some people with little shavings with nickels in their shoes coming forward saying, I am blessed of God. And as we throw those little wood shavings on top of that fire, it gets a little bigger. There are people in this church who've got kindling and it seems so small, or some little bitty sticks, and they're going, I don't want to be the one to throw it up there. How embarrassing. Come to Jesus, folks. Come to Jesus and throw that down there on that fire and let it grow. The only way it's going to grow is when we all start throwing those little blessings out there and sharing them with everybody else. And as we see God growing in grace, it's going to go beyond a nickel in Doyle's shoe to other blessings that will be made manifest, and we'll keep contributing and we'll keep throwing on kindling. But I'll tell you this, as long as you're holding on to that wood shaving, it'll never warm the cockles of your heart. It'll never warm or build a fire to warm the cockles of anybody else's heart. It'll never be the place where people will come in out of a cold spiritual world and say, I love going to that church and I just want to back up in there like you do to a wood fire and say, this feels so good. Can I just stand here and get warmed up for a while? And we say yes. That fire will never grow unless everybody starts bringing those little shavings. And he says, if I give you a little shaving, invest it. Invest that shaving, share that shaving, put that shaving into that fire, and let that fire grow, and let that fire grow. And as you get another shaving, let it grow, and I'll work you up from shavings to matchsticks, from matchsticks to kindling, from kindling to pieces and chunks, and from pieces and chunks, finally I'll have you throwing on 9-foot logs on that fire, and people will come from miles around to see the fire that God has built through Trinity Church because they were being blessed. But if you hold on to them little bitty blessings, that's all they're ever going to be. A wheat seed is a wheat seed until it's planted. Until you have your blessing and you lay that blessing down and you're willing to share it, plant it, and walk away from it, you're only going to have a wheat seed. But if everybody here's got a wheat seed and we plant it, we'll end up with a wheat crop. And if we save some of that back and plant more, we'll have a bigger crop and a bigger crop, and we will be blessed of God. And all of this blessing of God is based on what? Righteousness. How do we get righteousness? Come to Jesus moment. How do you get it? You can get it two ways. You can either work your off. Nobody's ever done it. You can say, I'll get saved by grace through faith, but now the rest of it, I'm going to work it up myself. You're never going to get it, but the gospel, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes. It doesn't say to everyone that works. It's to everyone who believes. And if you say, I believe Jesus is going to bless me, and when he does, I'm going to share that blessing either materially or I will come to the church and say, God has blessed me. No matter how trivial it is, I expect then to grow in grace and knowledge, and it's based upon the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Not mine, not yours, but Jesus Christ. He did everything right, and I trust him now to continue doing right by me, not because I'm worthy, but just because he likes me. And he says, all those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, come unto me, and you shall be satisfied. Not maybe, you shall be satisfied. And this can grow and grow and grow as we trust him, because we can grow in grace and knowledge because we share what God's telling us. We share what God is doing in our lives or has done in our lives. We share the trivial stuff and we bless God for it. And this can continue to grow. It says, come unto me and I shall give you food. I will give you bread and I will give you drink that will satisfy you forever. Now we're going to start off. If you're hungering and thirsting after righteousness, this is the place to get fed, right here. It's the body of Christ and the blood of Christ. His blood was shed for the remission of our sins. His body was broken for all the other qualities of salvation, from meeting all of our needs, provisions. Every provision in your life is met because he gave up his riches and glory and took our poverty, and he died with our poverty so we could take his riches and glory. There's that saying around, grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. He has given us this opportunity, and if you are hungering and thirsting after righteousness and you want to see the grace of God manifested in your life and you want to see the grace of God manifested in this church, then here is the place you come today. You've got to come to Jesus. You've got to come to Jesus. He will not come to you on every whim and say, hey, here I am, want to come to me? You come to him. Granted, on the way, the prodigal son was on the way, but he started on the way before the father ran to meet him. You have got to start that trip to Jesus. You do it by faith, and this is a place to start. What are your needs? Do you need to be saved? Righteousness, because Jesus Christ died for you. Do you have a need? Jesus Christ died for you to meet all those needs. Do you have a blessing? This is the place to say thank you. God, I appreciate everything you've done for me. Father, this bread represents the body of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. We ask that you bless it and we would be blessed through it. We're trusting in what Jesus accomplished. We thank you for salvation in all of its facets. We bring our problems and our just everything that we're encountering that's not positive in our life, we bring it to you, and we ask that Jesus would meet those needs through the bread, through his broken body, so that we can come back on the third trip and say, thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Bless this bread in Jesus' name. Father, in the same way, I ask you to bless this cup. I ask that you show forth the salvation and the repentance and the turning away from sin and your ability to keep us out of sin, Father. I ask that you bless this cup in the way that Jesus blessed it and how he meant it for us. Bring it to fruition in the life of us individually and as a church. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. If you have a need that you would like someone to pray with you about, stay where you are and I'll pray with you. Like they said, silver and gold have I none, but what I've got I'll give you. And I've been blessed by the grace of God a few times in my life. So what I've got of it, I'm glad to share it. So if you have something you'd like to be prayed for about, just stay up front and I'll pray for you. Once again, Jesus, we praise you and thank you for your grace and your kindness to us. We ask that you would continue to show forth your mercy to us. Help us to share that mercy with other people, scatter the darkness, and help us and this church to be a light. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.